The Oakland A's were really bad last year, but in 2023, they're going to be significantly better. I'm going to tell you guys why on today's episode of Locked On A's.
You are Locked On A's, your daily Oakland A's podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Locked On A's, stepping to the mic, it's your host, Jason Burke.
How's it going, A's fans? And welcome to episode 525 of the Locked On A's podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your host, noted baseball fan, Jason Burke. And on today's show, I'm running down the roster as I see it for opening day. We're going to give you the catcher, the first baseman. We're going to give you all of those. And then later on, offensively, I'm going to tell you why the A's will be so much better in 2023. But before we get into anything, today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel. It's the FanDuel official sportsbook. It's the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn to get started today. Go do that. FanDuel is great. I don't know who's going to be in the Super Bowl. The Niners just lost really bad, and the Bengals are, I assume, winning. Let's find out. Go Eagles and Bengals, or Eagles and Chiefs. We'll see. Next time we talk, we'll definitely have odds on the Super Bowl favorite. But before we get into the show, make sure to follow the show at Locked On A's on Twitter and Instagram. I'm a by Jason B on Twitter. Check out Inside the A's for more A's news, insight, and analysis, and sometimes just some fun shenanigans. So check out Inside the A's at Inside the A's on Twitter and on Facebook, so you never miss an article over there. But let's quickly run down the A's opening day roster as I see it as January comes to a close. Pitchers and catchers just a couple of weeks away from reporting. How are things looking right now? Before we know anything about injuries, before we know any of that stuff, who are the 26 guys that should be on the opening day roster, assuming health and platoon splits and all that stuff? So here are the guys. In the next segment, we'll go over why the A's will be better in 2023. But right now, let's just go over the names. So at catcher, you got Shea Langeliers. That's an obvious one. Behind him, you got Manny Pena. That's catcher, backup catcher. Makes sense. That one, very easy. Unless somebody gets hurt, that's the duo. That just makes a lot of sense. And then you go over to first base, you got the recent signee, Jesus Aguilar, who should be the A's opening day first baseman. I could see, like, if he gets hurt or something, maybe, or if he just can't hit during spring training, maybe they move him or do something, but he's probably the A's opening day first baseman. And as a platoon partner, or just as another guy on the roster, because the A's have wanted him for so long and finally got him in the Rule 5 draft, Ryan Noda should be a platoon partner at first base for Jesus Aguilar. Both guys are both, you know, fine defensively. Not outstanding, but, you know, fine defensively. Noda, obviously younger by a few years. He's going to be 27. Aguilar is going to be 33, so 6 years younger. Might be able to move a little bit better. So those two guys combined, and then they could also split DH duties if, Noda is doing well, or, if Aguilar needs to just handle DH duties, he can also do that, and Noda can play for his base. So there's that. Then you got over at second base, Tony Kemp, who I'm putting at second base. I know that he played a lot of left field last year, and he's played all around the diamond, but second base is where he was best defensively. I'll talk about that in the next segment. But Tony Kemp is one half of the second baseman. And then the other half is going to be Aledmys Diaz, the A's another of the A's new signings. He's battled some injuries, but when he's on the field, he's been best at second base, and also he's been pretty good. They've got the same platoon splits, so they make one heck of a good second baseman together. Again, we're going to go into that. At shortstop, you got Nick Allen. Until he shows that he can't hit, which may come this season. This season is going to be a big season for Nick Allen at shortstop. If he doesn't do it with the bat, maybe he's the platoon guy, but he's a Gold Glove caliber defender at shortstop. You want to give him as much leeway as you can. He wasn't great with the bat last year. Let's see how he progresses. He's still very young. He's like 23, 24. He's still a very young guy. So Give him some time to figure it out. His defense is great. 2023 should be a good developmental year for him. And as I've talked about before, he's done well once he's been at a level for a minute. He just needs a minute. And then he's like, oh, now I know where I can make adjustments and get better. And then he goes out and does that. So we'll see what he does in 2023. At third base, got a surprising one here for you. Jace Peterson, not surprising. He's already kind of talked about it, like in his introductory talk with the media. He was like, oh yeah, I'm looking forward to making plays like Matt Chapman at third base because there's a lot of foul ground there. And that kind of just alluded to the fact that he's planning on playing third base, and that's his best defensive position. He was very, very good with the Brewers at third base last year. A lot more foul territory. He's excited about that. I'm excited that he's excited, so that's cool. But his platoon partner at third base is going to be, I think, Kevin Smith, who played 47 games for the A's last year, and a lot of A's fans were not impressed. He might have been pressing a little bit, but his stats overall were not great. He spent the rest of the season in the minor leagues and didn't really like click with anything until the month of September when he went absolutely bonkers. And that was great. But you can look at his splits at the major league level. He was really good against lefties. I'll give you guys, again, next segment on that one. But those two guys combined could make one heck of a third baseman, and it's tantalizing. I love it. In left field, I got Seth Brown, because I've said it before. I've written about it before over at Inside the A's, and I said, you know what? Seth Brown's best defensively in left field. Maybe you guys should just leave him in left field, and maybe not at first base, and let somebody else play first base, because we have a lot of options. And then they went out and signed Jesus Aguilar and kind of cemented that. Is, yeah, we're probably going to play Seth Brown in the outfield a little bit more. So they do definitely listen to and read what I write. So that's great. Thanks, A's. Checks in the mail? Maybe? I don't know. So Seth Brown probably going to be in left field. Then you got Esturi Ruiz, obviously going to be in center field because the A's traded literally Sean Murphy for him and some other guys, but for him. So he's probably going to get the first crack at center field. And then in right field, you got Ramon Laureano. That should go without saying. That makes sense, right? Ramon Laureano, left field. Right field. DH, that's going to be whoever. It could be Ryan Noda. It could be Manny Pena, maybe? I don't know. It could be Kevin Smith. It could be Christian Pache, who is going to be the only guy that I have not mentioned. I have him on my bench. It's a four-man bench with the DH. I want to see what Christian Pache can do. He was okay against lefties. Put him in against lefties. See if he can excel against lefties and work his way into a platoon with somebody. I don't know. But then, starting pitchers. This is in no particular order. I just wrote down five names. You got Paul Blackburn, James Kaprielian, Ken Waldachuk, Fuji, and Drew Rachinski. Those are the five. As of right now, those are the five guys. We'll see. It sounds like Blackburn and Cap should be ready to go when spring training starts. If they, you know, have any hiccups or anything like that, maybe they get pushed off of, pushed aside for a second and somebody else gets into the mix. Because there's another four guys that could, or five if you include AJ Puck, that could be in the A's rotation even after the trade of Cole Irvin. And then in the bullpen, you got Trevor May, probably the closer, but it might not be. It could also be Zach Jackson or Danny Jimenez. All three of those guys are going to be in the A's bullpen no matter what. Then you also got AJ Puck over there. He's a lefty. You also have Sam Moll, another lefty. Chad Smith is another guy that I'm very excited about. I wrote about him and why I'm excited about him over at Inside the A's, so check that out. Domingo Acevedo, great long man. Not even long man, just an everyday guy that can just go out there and get you your outs whenever you want. And then the A's could go one of a couple of different ways for their eighth spots in the bullpen. You can go Kirby Snead, who I think could be a breakout guy if he can harness his pitches a little bit better and have a little bit better command. He's got lots of movement, and I would like to see him get another shot. I want to see what he can do in a second year with the A's. Let's find out. Or they could also just use one of their numerous starting pitchers to just go over there and eat some innings when needed. So that's the A's roster. Those are the 26 names that I ran through very quickly. And you're like, wow, I haven't heard of most of those. This team stinks. That's wrong. You're wrong. They're going to be great. The pitching, we'll see. The pitching is kind of up in the air. It depends on development and health and some of that stuff. But offensively, they're going to be a lot better than they were in 2022. And I'm going to talk about that here in just 1 second. Today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel. This year, the only app you need at your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. We're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they're the number one sportsbook in America, and that is FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. Download FanDuel now so you can bet Super Bowl 57 with no sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet does not win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from money line to point spreads to who will score a touchdown. And the thing that I like about checking out the sports book on the FanDuel site, even though I'm a California resident and I can't use it, they do have plenty of fantasy options for FanDuel app stuff for the California people like ourselves. But I like looking at the sportsbook to see all the haters talking about the A's. Obviously, they haven't listened to what I'm about to say in the next segment. So let's see if those odds come down a little bit after they listen to segment two of this here episode. But the FanDuel sportsbook app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. Best of all, you can get paid your winnings instantly. So feel free to join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/LockedOn to claim your no-sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Welcome back to the Locked On A's podcast. Thank you so much for making Locked On A's your first listen of the day. We are free and available on all platforms, including on YouTube. If you're on YouTube, I forgot to say this earlier. I was too excited about how good the A's are going to be in 2023. I forgot to say, subscribe to our YouTube channel because we are trying to get to 1,000 subs by the beginning of the season, by opening day. You know, beginning of the season, opening day, same thing. So if you haven't subscribed already and you're here now, just mash the subscribe button while you're there. And if you've already subscribed and you're a longtime listener, click like and comment down below because that helps other A's fans discover this podcast through, you know, their weird algorithm they have over at YouTube. So yeah, it helps the algorithm find other A's fans like yourself. So if you like it, that's how you can help grow the show and spread it. If you don't know many people like me, that's how you help grow. So if you don't know what to say, just say, wow, so good at baseball. So handsome. How does he do it each and every day? That's flattering. Thank you for saying that in the comments down below. But let's talk about why the A's are going to be better position by position, starting at catcher. This one's questionable. I don't know that they're actually going to be better without Sean Murphy at catcher specifically, at least, probably not defensively yet. But offensively, we'll see. Overall, last year, catchers for the A's had a 104 WRC plus, and that's 4% above league average. Sean Murphy was 22% above league average on the year, but whatever. But Shea Langeliers, he had a 97 WRC plus in his first 40 games. That's not bad for a guy just learning how to hit at the major league level. So he could do a little bit better, he could do a little bit worse, but he's going to be roughly league average, I would assume, in his first full season, which is not a huge step, you know, away from the 104 that the A's got last season. So, I mean, there might be a little bit of a decline, but according to what Shea Langeliers did last year and what the A's got overall last year, that's a 7% drop. And that is probably the only drop that we'll be seeing across the board. It's because the A's traded a superstar catcher that, you know, that's why. That's why. There's another little bit of a question mark because we don't know which Jesus Aguilar we're going to be getting at first base. And we also have never seen Ryan Noda in the major leagues. So there's nothing to really go off of here. But we do know that the A's had a 93 WRC plus at first base. A lot of that was Seth Brown, who's now in left field, so he's just switching position. He's still on the team. They're still getting that production just somewhere else. So we'll see. Ryan Noda can get on base, and the A's got Jesus Aguilar for either to have shenanigans or to have a bounce back season and be trade bait later in the year. So we'll see how first base goes as well. But there are reasons to be optimistic over there for sure. Second base, this is where it starts getting very, very interesting. As I said before, it's Tony Kemp and Aledmys Diaz. Kemp is a great defender at second base. He had a 5 outs above average, according to Baseball Savant. That's the one, yeah. Baseball Savant. And just raked against right-handed pitchers in 2022. He had a 93 WRC+. So that's 7% below league average. But the A's second baseman overall last year had a 77. So that is an increase of 16% by just the one side of the platoon. And then you add in Aledmys Diaz, whose best defensive position was also second base. And he had a +2. So that's a +7 defender at second base. That's top 10 defender. That's in baseball. That's good. Combined, that's one good player right there. And what did he have? He had a 121 WRC+ against lefties. So overall, you're looking at at least a league average second baseman right there. That's it. That's a 23% jump in production right there. You're taking a 7% bump at catcher, maybe. We'll see. And you're increasing second base by 23%. It keeps going up, too. Let me tell you, it keeps going up. They keep getting better. Here we go. That's shortstop. Okay, question mark again. But they had an 81 WRC+ overall at shortstop with Elvis Andrus and Nick Allen and whoever else played shortstop. He's going to be a gold glover defensively, but he should also improve on his 61 WRC+ from a year ago. Is it going to be that 81? We'll see. I think that he's going to be probably in the 85 range in his second season, in his first full season, but second go around in the major leagues. I think that'll be a slight increase from Nick Allen, but it's going to be a big season. And if he's not doing it, then maybe he just starts hitting lefties, because he had a 122 WRC+ against lefties last year, and then they find a platoon partner for him. They've got plenty of options for platoon partners. Jace Peterson can do it. Aledmys Diaz can do it. Kevin Smith can do it. Jonah Bride probably could do it. I don't know how good all of those options are defensively, but offensively, they might be able to handle some of that platoon with Nick Allen as well. Here's my favorite one, though, and that's third base, because Kevin Smith was underrated at third base defensively last year, and he's going to get another shot after his monster September in Las Vegas. But let's start this one off with Jace Peterson. He had seven outs above average at third base last season, and not even a whole season, just in a half season. Seven. That's not bad. He also had a 95 WRC+ against the righties last year. Kevin Smith, he returns to the majors to just mash lefties. While he was bad at the major league level last season, he had a 116 WRC+ against lefties. So he could still hit lefties even when he was struggling mightily. And that is a good sign for the A's moving forward. Let's see if he can hit lefties and righties now that he's had that monster month in September of last year in Las Vegas. He also had 3 outs above average at third base in just 47 games. Combined, that's a really good player, you guys. And if you take it into, if they split time roughly half and half, the A's have two top 10 defenders in, by outs above average in baseball in 2023. That's the way that I see it. Some other guys might pop up, but they're going to have two top 10-ish guys, according to outs above average, playing defense at third base. That's what you need with all that foul ground. And I'm excited. And they can both do it with the bat. Right field, you got Ramon Laureano. The A's ranked 26th in WRC+ last year in right field with an 86. The league average, the league average team was Arizona. They had a 100 WRC+ overall. And they ranked 13th in baseball. That is a 14-point difference between where the A's were and where the Diamondbacks were by, production WRC+-wise. But that's it's a big gap in ranking. So there's a lot of teams just cranked right into that small little hole right there, 26th to 13th. You think that Ramon Laureano can be league average and vault the A's into a top 15 team offensively? I mean, you already know he can do it defensively, but offensively, you think he can do it? I think he can do it. You think he wants to get traded? Because if he does, then you're going to see that production go sky high. Also, that was he had a 96 last year in a down season. He had a 112 the year before. So he's probably going to be above league average no matter what he does. So I'm expecting a little bit of a bounce back right there. Center field, Esturi Ruiz. No idea what's going to happen here. But the A's like him. He's going to have a shot. He's not going to be platooned or anything, at least initially. He's going to have a shot to just go earn that spot. And that's how the A's find success with players sometimes. But the A's overall ranked 29th in WRC plus in center field in 2022. They had a 69. Nice. Not nice. WRC plus last year. And even the worst projections on Fangraphs for Esturi Ruiz have him at an 87 WRC plus, which is 18% better than they got last year. The highest projections have him at 10% above league average at a 110. So that's a big, big jump right there, you guys. And then you got in left field, Seth Friggin Brown. His best position in 2022 was left field. Against righties, he was 29% above league average versus 40% below league average against lefties. So while he is kind of the A's best hitter, and he could be Freddie Freeman without the shift, maybe you platoon him a little bit? I don't know. It feels weird to say. I don't know. But the only reason that I do say it is because the A's also have Jace Peterson, who is, according to how I'm laying everything out, if you got Kevin Smith over there playing third base when lefties are in town, then you got Kevin Smith over third base, Seth Brown on the bench. Jace Peterson moves to left field, and he was actually better against lefties than he was righties. He had a 105 WRC+. His second best defensive position was left field, and it makes a lot of sense. So that is all of the upswing that the A's are getting. I wrote down some numbers here for you guys. They got negative 7% swing at catcher. First base, I don't really have a thing for you there, because I'm expecting Ryan Noda to get a decent amount of playing time. We haven't seen him in the major leagues. Jesus Aguilar, what's he going to be? What's the playing time split going to be? We're unsure. Same thing with shortstop. Unsure, because Nick Allen, I think he's going to be around an 85. I don't know. But based off of the other guys and what they've done in major league seasons previously, here's what we got. Second base, 23% better. Third base, 37% better offensively. Right field, 10% better. And that's just if they're league average. And then in center field, 18% better. And that's if he has an 87 WRC plus, you guys. Imagine if he has that 110. It goes up quite a bit. And then in left field, 22% better. I know that doesn't sound like amazing, but those are huge gains, you guys. Usually in baseball, you're looking for like the Mariners. They're making like marginal gains in a lot of these trades. The A's have done that, where they're just looking for that little bit of a boost. The A's got huge boosts. Obviously, they were bad last year, so there's a lot to improve on. But there's a lot looking like they could be a league average team next year. And I mean, by definition, that's an 81-81 team, just a league average team. I don't know that they're going to be that good, but the offense should be a lot more fun to watch, even if you don't know the guys' names. But coming up on the show, I'm going to tell you guys some names of other league average players and see if you like that offense more or if you like the guys that the A's have. So we're going to have some fun in the next segment. Stay locked in, you guys. Today's episode is also brought to you by Built Bar. Looking for a delicious treat, but you don't want all of the fat and calories? Then you gotta try Built Bar. We just got through the holidays, and I know that my goal is to eat a little bit healthier, and I have been. I've had some tomatoes. I've had lettuce. Granted, it has been on Taco Bell, but I've had it. But if I really want to feel healthy, I just grab a Built Bar out of my Built Bar box, and I snack into that, and it makes me feel good. It makes me feel warm and fuzzy inside because they taste like candy bars, but holy crap, they are delicious and great for you. And what makes them so good? Well, for starters, they are covered in 100% real chocolate. That is right, real chocolate. And they come in unbelievably flavorful flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond. And I'm not sure how Built does it. I'm sure that they work in the North Pole with Santa Claus doing great, amazing things up there. But they taste like candy bars. They have so much protein, and they're good for you. They got 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, with a whopping 17 grams of protein. And you don't need to wait around to get a box anymore. For years, we have been talking about ordering your Built Bars at Built.com. Now, you can go get them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. That's right. You can head to your nearest Walmart today, walk to the pharmacy section, and grab yourself a box of Built Bars. You can pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs. All amazing flavors, might I add. And if you're close to a Sam's Club, who isn't? Who isn't close to a Sam's Club? Everybody's close to a Sam's Club. Go just run in, grab a 13-bar box with our hit flavors, brownie batter and churro. You can thank me later. Welcome back to the Locked On A's podcast. If you guys are enjoying the show, make sure to subscribe wherever you like to hear podcasts. If you're listening to this auditorially, not visually, but just the audio version, leave us a 5-star review. And if you're watching this and listening to it, thanks. That's great. Subscribe to the YouTube channel and also leave us a comment below. That's how the channel grows. So thank you to everybody for listening, though, and making the Locked On A's your first listen of the day. Again, free and available on all platforms. But let's talk a little bit about, let's just finish things out here real quick. Who are some other league average guys? And would you guys feel better about this lineup as opposed to the A's platoon heavy lineup? Because you're roughly getting the same amount of production from both. But which one are you more excited about? Let's discuss. Let me know in the comments below if you're on YouTube. But having at least a league average offense, the A's should see major gains at the bats, and that's going to be nice because the A's were not great for a bunch of games last year, mostly in June. June sucked. The rest of the year, I was fine, but June was not fun. But while the names don't really pop on the A's roster, like even A's fans that were at the plank on Friday were like, yeah, these guys are whatever, it's fine. And these are like the 100 people that are the most diehard that went to this thing that the A's were promoting, kind of. And they're like, eh, this team's going to be fine. It's whatever, I guess. So it's going to be a weird season. But I think that even without knowing who these guys are initially, we're going to get to know them. We're going to fall in love, and they're going to be kind of okay. So let's get into who they kind of compare to. At first base, a league average offensive bats in 2022, CJ Crone. He was really good. He's actually somebody who I thought the A's should probably go get. I think he's a free agent at the end of the year. And also, his dad is the assistant hitting coach. I'd love to pair them together. The A's got the other Kevin Crone? No. They got the other Chris. I get them all confused. They got the minor league guy that was in Korea, and they signed him to a minor league deal. So they got one of the Crones, just not CJ. So there's that. Second base, Ketel Marte of the Arizona Diamondbacks. He had a 102 WRC+. He's really good, and he had a down year, but he's still really good. I'd like him on my team, just like CJ Crone. Shortstop, it's the World Series MVP, Jeremy Peña. He had a 102 WRC+ last year. He went through some struggles at different times, but for a guy that you're just looking at just for the entirety of the year that wasn't on the Astros and all that stuff, Bobby Witt Jr., 99 WRC+. You want either of those guys playing shortstop? I mean, maybe Nick Allen will get there in a year or two, but we're close. He's approaching that realm right there. Those are two pretty good shortstops in Major League Baseball. Third base, Alec Bohm. 98 WRC+, just below league average. He's not bad. I don't believe he's great defensively, but he's not bad offensively, and I think the A's will get more production out of Kevin Smith and Jace Peterson than the Phillies do out of Alec Bohm. That's a bold statement. Let's go with it. Left field, the centerpiece of the Mookie Betts trade, Alex Verdugo. One of the other centerpieces, I mean, there's only one centerpiece, but Jeter Downs. Did he sign with the Nationals? That sounds familiar. Anyways, Alex Verdugo, 103 WRC+ last year. I think that I would definitely take Seth Brown and, I mean, Seth Brown by himself beating that, but also Seth Brown and Jace Peterson beating the crap out of that out in left field. So, yeah, I like that. I like the A's options a little bit better so far. Nick Castellanos, big name. 6% below league average last year. 94 WRC plus in right field. You think that Ramon Laureano plays better defense than Nick Castellanos? I mean, maybe not in the World Series, but over the course of a full season, yes. Yes, I do. Can Ramon Laureano have better than a 94 WRC plus? I believe he can. He might even go up to like 110, 115. Hey, we'll see. But I think that I would take Ramon over Nick Castellanos, that version of him at least. And then in center field, Dylan Carlson, he was an even 100. He's an up-and-coming guy for the Cardinals. We don't know what to expect out of Dylan Carlson yet, but he's an intriguing guy that gets talked about a whole lot more than Estuary Ruiz or Christian Pache. And I don't know. I think that I kind of like the A's lineup more than that smattering of guys who a lot more people have heard of. So I'm just saying the A's might be okay offensively. They might not always have it, but when they click, they're going to click. They make a lot more contact this year, and I'm excited. I know that I shouldn't be, but I am. They keep sucking me in. DH is going to rotate between a bunch of different guys, but that's the A's offense for you, and it's one of the reasons why I'm a little bit excited about the A's in 2023. Pitchers and catchers report in just a couple of weeks, so get excited, you guys, and we're going to be here 3 days a week up until about that time, I believe. And then we'll be here every single day to bring you all of the A's news that you need to know. And for anything that I can't get to on Locked On A's, it's going to be over at Inside the A's, just InsideTheA's.com. Check out that site at Inside the A's on Twitter and on Facebook so you never miss an article over there. But I am at By Jason B on Twitter. Go follow me over there. Follow me. And then Locked On A's on Twitter and Instagram. I'm actually trying to do more Instagram things because we have, access to the photos now. So I can do more photos now. So I can use the Instagram better. So that's fun. But yeah, thank you again so much for making Locked On A's your first listen of the day. For your second lesson, go check out Lindsey Crosby of Locked On MLB Prospects because he breaks down everything and is good. He's a minor league encyclopedia. And with the A's having the sixth pick in the MLB draft, you definitely want to know what he has to say about that stuff because he knows that stuff and I do not. I would just listen to his podcast and then regurgitate that for you because the draft is not my thing because the A's usually draft much later than this. So that's where I am on the draft. But I'll read more about the draft. If you'll subscribe, I'll do more research on the draft. How about that? That's a good deal. That's a good subscribe. All right, but that's all I got for you guys today. Later on this week, we'll be talking. I'll probably post on Wednesday and Thursday next week, or maybe Thursday and Friday, depending on what time of day I tend to record on those days. But that's the schedule for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in today, and we'll talk about some stuff. Maybe some guys that didn't make the roster according to my opening day roster and how they could better themselves to be in a position to be the first call-up at their position. So that's probably what we're going to talk about next time. So until we do that, go out and celebrate good times, A's fans, and I will talk with you soon.